to each of you this morning as we continue our worship time together. Happy Father's Day to each of you dads. And I enjoyed the time we shared together over in the gym. The things that you shared, the things that you talked about, the things you wanted to do, your goals, and so on. And I think they're very exemplary. They're good goals, and yet they're hard goals. And you talked about time, so I'm not going to talk about time today necessarily, although it may enter in if I have time. But if I have time. Time, yeah, it's all about time, isn't it? But anyway, it's being a dad is a joyful time. And, you know, I think we need to keep that in mind. And I don't think there's a dad that regrets being a dad. I remember what my dad said years ago when somebody asked him. He had 10 children living, and some, I forget how they asked him, but he said he wouldn't give a nickel for another one, but he wouldn't take $1 million for any of them. So that was pretty good, I thought. It was a good answer. And so as I looked at trying to come up with a sermon for Father's Day, I don't know how many I have preached in 20 years, not that many. And yet, what do you say? What can I tell you that you don't already know? I don't think probably nothing. It's not that we don't know, but it's just that we need to be encouraged. And so that's what I want to do today. I just want to encourage each of you dads to keep on. I believe every dad wants to do the best he can. I believe it's within your heart that you want to do the best for your children. You want your children to grow up to be the best children they can be in the kingdom of God. I believe that's within, with all my heart, I believe that's within the heart of every dad. And you young boys that are still boys and one day will be dads, I believe that will be your desire. But then with the presence of children comes the responsibilities, and we don't see those until they're there. And then we wonder how to deal with them and how to cope sometimes. That's a hard part. But we have a God that understands. We have a God that gives us wisdom. We have the Bible to help us, to guide us, to give us instructions. And so we need to avail ourselves to that as well. So today I've titled this sermon, Overcoming Stress as Fathers by Waiting on God. Now you probably wonder, and it's probably time for this old guy to retire when you talk about stress, how on Father's Day. And if you do, that's fine, because I plan to make that happen. But anyway, in the meantime, don't throw me away at the moment. We'll see if we can make some sense through this as we go along. We can turn to Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. We're going to look at for a little bit. I thought about earlier, I said, well, on Mother's Day, Dale didn't have a lot of time. He only preached maybe 10 minutes. And so although it's not fair if I do longer for the men. But then as time went on, I said, well, I probably won't have too much more time than that anyway. So I guess it'll be fair. But Isaiah 40, starting with verse 28, and we're going to focus on verse 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It's a beautiful verse, a very familiar verse, one that you have heard many, many times, and you maybe have referred to as you face life and the different circumstances that come your way. So this sermon isn't just for dads. You moms probably need and probably have as much stress, if not more stress, than the dads do. I understand that. But since it's Father's Day, we're going to pretty much focus toward the fathers. These are some beautiful verses that Isaiah is talking here. And if you look at verses 12 through 26, I believe it is, where Isaiah is talking about, he's describing the majesty of God. And he says, such a God is able to deliver and restore his distressed people. And if they will wait in faith for him to act, they are to trust in him and to draw strength from him. As I think of fathering, and especially in this day and age, and I believe that 40 years ago, there was stress involved in raising children as well as today. But as I look back and as I see the way that the world is going and the pressures of the world and the fast pace of the world and the things that we have to contend with that we didn't 40 years ago, I think it is much more difficult. You young fathers today have a greater challenge, I think, than what I did when my children were small. There weren't quite so many things to distract us. Yeah, there were things. Probably our parents would have said, in my generation, they could see the difference from their generation. I'm sure they could, because it was much, much slower in my childhood than in my children's childhood. The way I grew up versus the way they grew up. There was a large difference. But I can see a large difference from the time my children were small to now my grandchildren as well. There are so many other things that come in, and especially the internet. And I know we've heard this. I know we know this. I know we've talked about it. And what are we going to do about it? We're not really going to do anything about it as far as except in learning to control it. We need to do that. I heard Adrian Rogers talk the other day a little bit, and I probably can't get as specific and adamant as he did. Probably wouldn't be safe. But anyway, he addressed some of these issues, and if you listen to him, he doesn't mince a lot of words, and pretty well understood when he's finished. So the stresses of life, Webster says stress is a strain, it's a pressure. It's a force that strains or deforms, and it's tension. And I thought of deforms. Yeah, it does. It deforms when you put extreme pressure on a thing, a physical thing, it does one of two things. It compacts or it deforms. If the form can't stand the pressure. And so I thought, well, that's physical. A chain link is really strong, a big chain, but it will still comes to its pressure point of beyond what it's designed for. It will stretch and it will be deformed or it will break. And so spiritually, it happens to us as well. And I think of Alyssa's aunt. Possibly that's where she got to a point of stretching to the point where she broke. Now, I realized there was some mental, emotional stress going on there. Maybe it was abnormal from the most of us. But that's probably the worst case scenario. But all of us stretch to a point. And if we are not spiritually up to date, then we can also be deformed spiritually in not being consistent, not being able to function in our proper manner. What Reuben talked about last Sunday morning sort of helped. I thought about that quite a bit. And he talked about time and having a personal time and being able to take time to do that, knowing that we need to, but it's the hectic pace of life. Sometimes it's easy to overlook. You know, there's a few mornings that I try to have my time every morning, but there's a few times my alarm, either I don't set it, generally I don't need it, but on occasion I should, and I get up later than what I really want to, and so I'm thinking, I really need to go. I really don't have time to pray this morning. I'll pray later. I can pray, as Reuben said, we can drive and we can pray, but it doesn't work very well for me. I can do that, and I do pray when I drive, but it's easy to get distracted. The next thing I know, I'm thinking about something else instead of praying. And then I come back, and okay, then it's sort of a haphazard way. So if that's all I do, then I think I am a haphazard Christian because I am not being intentional, and I'm not really giving that time to God. God's getting a little bit of my time, but not a lot, because I'm distracted with other things. Maybe you can do better than that, than I do in that. And I thought of, as fathers, unless we are prepared and we are equipped ourselves, we're not going to be good fathers. And a leader needs to be equipped to lead, or he can't lead. And so it's you as fathers are leaders in your home. And so if you're not equipped, how are you going to lead your family and your children? Now, I'm saying these things simply because I think we're all in one boat, so to say. None of us are exempt. All of us have faced that or are facing these same things. So I'm not putting you down. I'm just trying to tell you and encourage you. And it's not something you don't know. I gathered that from what you all shared this morning. Time is of the essence. And especially now with you young fathers with little children, it's the essence. As Brian said, you won't get that time back. After you'll never get today again. It'll be gone. It's tomorrow. And so I just throw that out to encourage you. There's a survey that was done by USA Today did a survey back in 1990. So that's 30 years ago. So these numbers probably aren't quite right for today, but they give you an idea of where the typical American, what they thought of stressed them out in life at that time. Work is the biggest source of stress in our lives, cited by 36% of the respondents. Money was second with 22%. Children was third with 10%. Health was 7%. Marriage was 5%. Parents was 5%. Only 5% say they have no stress at all in their daily lives, and 19% have a little. So, where do you fit in that? But when I look at work as the biggest source of stress, and I think it probably is. Work and money would be some of the things that probably families struggled with or marriages struggle with in trying to agree on how to do that. Pascal says, one of the ways in which man brings the most trouble upon himself is by his inability to be still. As we look at our verse in verse 31, and I was going to talk about the others a little bit, but I'm going to, for sake of time, I want to focus on what he's saying here, they that wait. I think wait is the key and the secret to this, what he is really saying. He brings the eagle in, and I was going to read a reading that I found, and it describes the eagle, the immense eagles are something that we look up to. We are not up to. We admire because of their ability, their agility, they're able just the way they are. And as huge as they are, how they just glide so smoothly. And there again, it's by God's design. And how that, and the writer brings out that God in designing our planet made these thermals, these columns of air, this hot air that floats up. And these eagles find those thermals and they just spread their wings and they rise, just like you would in an elevator. My understanding is, from things I've heard, those that like to glide in airplanes without engines, they have understood that same dynamic, and that's what they do. They find these thermals, and they go up, and they glide for miles, hundreds of miles, simply on the currents of the air, just as an eagle does. And so what the writer brings out in that is simply that in just as the eagle finds those invisible columns of hot air, those thermal currents that rise, so you and I, as we learn to wait on God and be still before God, we can run and not be weary. We can walk and we won't faint in life. As you take that into our daily lives, that idea. You know, as we get older, we can't run very well. And we do get tired physically. But spiritually talking, as we wait on God, we become equipped. We find our strength in reading God's Word and in His Holy Spirit ministering to us through His Word. And I'm ashamed to say I've never really done. I have a little booklet, and maybe you do too. I'm trying to think. I think somebody gave that to us here in church years ago. But it gives the idea of being how to get away by yourself for, I don't know, several days, a week. And it's just you and God. I know people that have done that. And the tremendous blessing it was to them and what they experienced, being able to do that. You say, well, I can't do that. I can't get away that long. Well, I understand. Probably most of us can. But probably most of us could sacrifice an hour somewhere. And where you choose to go to be alone, and I'm not saying you have to do it every day, every week, but just to do it. But to spend time alone, away from God. And that's why I say I think it is important to get to have your own private, quiet time, because of all the interruptions and all the noise that is around and that comes in. When you try to incorporate that into your other actions in life. And I think the writers of the Bible, and what Paschal here himself said, one of the ways in which man brings the most trouble upon himself is by his inability to be still. Some of the stresses that we face come piled upon us, but we don't ask for. They come our way because of life, because of circumstances. But there are stresses that we face that we bring upon ourselves. There is trouble that we face because of our decisions, the things we do, and so on. I acknowledge that. But at the same time, to acknowledge that it's God that we really need. It's God in my daily life. If I'm going to accomplish anything good today, then I need to understand that it comes from God. The wisdom, the courage, the strength He gives me. And it comes from God and not from myself. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." I think that's one of the ways that we can prepare ourselves to lead our families. As I said earlier, if you yourself are not, I don't know what the right word is, refurbished, encouraged, it's hard to encourage your children and your wife and to be the husband that you want to be. And also, along with stress, stress brings lots of different things into our lives. It can bring discontentment. And discontentment brings stress as well. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." You know, Jesus said, if you have food, if you have raiment, and I might add, if you have a roof over your house, I say roof over your house, that probably would help, but over your head, what more do you need? Really, he said, with that, if you have that, then be content. We have much more than that. And I realize, there again, in the society we live, we are geared, and that society many times is a driving force behind a lot of our stress. I believe it is. Now, can we get away from it? Jesus said, you know, only if you go out of this world. You know, when we die, we will leave stress behind. There will be no stress. But until then, we have to learn how to deal with it and how to live our lives productively for God in the midst of that. And so in closing, I would simply like to encourage us. Wait upon the Lord. Everybody would like to soar as an eagle. I would love, well, I think I would. I'm not sure if I would. I might be scared to go up in with one of these guys in the glider. I don't know if I have enough faith, I guess, in this, in everything, to go up there and depend my life on the pilot and on the current to bring me down safely. But it's amazing. A couple times I've seen that. And you watch the eagles, the hawks, as they float around up there. They just, I mean, wouldn't that be great? Just go up there and man, you just carefree. You can't beat it. But you and I can be like that if we trust in God. We can learn to be like that. I believe that. To be more like that. Maybe I should put it that way. As the eagles, they're not carefree totally. They're looking for lunch. They're looking for a meal. And they can spot them from high altitudes, and so on. But I think what Isaiah is trying to tell us that there is strength promised to us, and to be able to cope with life in the phase of life where you are able to cope if you allow God to lead you and to help you, and you trust in Him and put your faith in Him. It's not that you won't get tired physically. I know that you do. I know that you guys are so tired by bedtime that if you were to pray with your children, you'd probably fall asleep. That happened to me. My children can tell you that. They remember that years ago. And that's not very meaningful. It probably made memories, but it didn't mean a whole lot as far as with God. And so I understand where you are, and I know that it's a very important and it's a difficult job as well. But But God is on your side, and God will help you through that. And God will help you that you can walk and not faint. You can run and not be weary. You can float as on eagle's wings with the Lord being the everlasting arms underneath you. All right. I did go over. I apologize for that. But you had a good meal. I mean, the men did. I'm sorry, ladies. Hopefully you won't have to wait too long till you can eat again. And so we have a closing song. I think it's 866 in the hymnary. And it's Rise Up, O Men of God. Now let's pay attention to those words and let's sing with meaning and with vigor this morning. Let's stand when you find out. Our Father, we're grateful to you again this morning for your love and mercy and goodness to us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for our fathers. And thank you for this day that has been set aside to honor the fathers as well. I pray for each father here today and grandfather. I pray a blessing, and especially the fathers with younger children. I pray that you would be with them. God, give them grace, give them strength, give them courage. Help them, Lord, in the time that is allotted to them to be able to decide what is the most valuable and to utilize that to the best of their ability. God, I know that you are able to help them. You're able to add to our time, to make our time more useful. In the time we have, if we choose to follow you and honor you. So thank you again. Thank you for the children. May you bless them and care for them today. And I pray for the mothers as well, that you would bless them too and guide them for their part in the life of the family, the very important part as well. So may you receive glory, honor, and praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Church, boy.